For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Not used to the distance there. Thank you, Joe. Joe is a good dude. He's been here for a long time. So let him know if you see him around. He might not, though. He's kind of a ninja, so. So how you guys doing? Yeah? What is it about that time change? Like, what can we do to get that just stopped? Like, I don't want to do it. Does anybody else not want to do it anymore? Now, the fall back is supposed to be good, right? Like, it's supposed to be better. Like, you're supposed to be able to get more sleep. But for some reason, I'm more tired now than I was before, so I can't figure it out. What's going on, right? My kid, in the morning, I watch my daughter. She's 1 year old, and it's like, it's the best. I always thought parents were not lying necessarily, but I kind of thought parents were, like they had to say that being a parent is the coolest thing in the world because they had kids, and it's just like, you have to say that. But then I had a kid, and I'm like, they were right. It is like literally the coolest thing in the world. And so anyway, I watch my daughter in the mornings, and she doesn't know the time change, and so she's getting up earlier, so. It's a problem. It's an issue. Her iPhone didn't automatically change. Some one-year-olds probably do have iPhones, right? Isn't that crazy? We live in a crazy world, right? How many of you guys remember the days when there was no cell phones? Anybody? Anybody remember those days? You remember? You want to go back? Let's do it. Why not? I told my buddy, I was like, look, I don't want to be like a millionaire or a billionaire or anything. I just want to get rich enough to be able to walk away from my phone for 10 minutes. That's my goal. Dude, we're like slaves to those things. I don't even know how. It's the craziest thing. Anyway, I have been turning my phone off at night though. People still text me, but I just don't get it, and I return it the next day, and it's nice. It's really nice. So I don't do it every night, but last night I think I was texting somebody at 11:30. But anyway. Trying to just make sense of the world, trying to just relax a little bit. I did get rid of the news app, though, because it was all bad. Like, I'm so tired of just, like, constantly being bombarded with bad news. There's obviously some real things going on in the world that we need to know about, and I get that, and it's good that we're informed, but I just don't need, like, 10 people talking and discussing about why it's so bad all the time without any real solutions, right? It's just, I don't know. I just wanna like live, and see what this world is all about. See what this life is all about, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you guys tonight about. But first, when was the last time that you just had a moment where you did nothing? I want everybody just to close your eyes for a moment. I'm gonna pray in a second, but I'm gonna take 10 seconds, okay? And we're just gonna do nothing. So go ahead and close your eyes. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us up. Lord, everybody that's here tonight, there's something in their life that you want to talk to them about. I believe that. And it might come out in the scriptures we're talking about, Lord. I don't know, but either way, I pray that we would have spiritual ears tonight. I pray that we would hear the things we're supposed to hear. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch every single person and just bring us closer to you. Any distractions, any thoughts, any worries, Lord, I know that there are people here tonight that have stresses in their lives, that have real things going on. Lord, I pray that you just give them peace right now, just for tonight, that we would all have a moment of sanctuary in this building. We love you, Lord, and we just need you, God. We need to learn to hear your voice again. We need to learn to trust you again. We need to learn to breathe. We need to learn to say no to all the different groups and different voices that want our attention. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last night, so I have this podcast that I've been doing with my friends, and it's pretty fun. If you want to check it out, I'm going to shamelessly promote it right now. It's called Son of a Gun Podcast, Son of a Gun Media Podcast. So I don't know why we named it that, so don't ask me, because we just did it. We literally, like, were worried about what to name it forever, and then somebody said that. We're like, cool, let's just do that. So if you want to check it out, it's just me and my friends talking about life and talking about some scripture stuff, talking about church, different things. But last night we were sitting, one of the reasons probably I'm so tired, we did it really late, when we were talking about selfishness and how we're living in a world where it's all about me, right? And it's becoming worse and worse and worse. And everywhere you go, you know, if you go to Barnes & Noble, all the books on the bookshelf are how to become, you know, a millionaire, or how to become the next successful person, or how to become, you know, somebody that everyone wants to listen to, or whatever. And it's and you go to social media. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos lately because I'm doing some research for some marketing stuff. And I noticed there's all these videos of people that have, like, Lamborghinis and fancy cars. And listen, I have no prejudice against people who have Lamborghinis and fancy cars. If you have a Lamborghini or a really cool house, that's awesome. That's really cool. Like, take us for a ride, all right? Just take everybody for a ride at church. That'd be cool. But there's these videos that, you know, it's a guy standing next to a car, and he's like, I'm going to tell you how I did this and how I got this car and I got this stuff, and it's just going to change your life. And people are watching this. You look at the views on these videos, and it's in the, like, tens of millions of people are watching these videos, like young people, I'm assuming, that are watching these videos trying to figure out how to become rich like this person that's on YouTube. And it probably isn't even real. It's probably somebody else's Lamborghini, right? It's probably like a hired actor. I don't even know what it is. It's crazy. We live in this world where we're constantly bombarded with, like, this message, this underlying message of think about yourself first. Like, look out for number one. But then we that believe in God and believe in Jesus, right, we open up the Bible and we find a completely different message. And so I was going to talk about that tonight, but as I was praying, I just really felt like like I needed to get to more of the root of an issue. And this is something that's really been kind of on my heart for a long time. It's something that I really, like, it blows my mind. Because in the church, I see this as an issue. And I see it as something that we all need to take responsibility for. Now, it's hard speaking to a large group because I have no idea where you're at in life. Like, I have no idea. Like, you might have just gotten a fight with your spouse tonight. Like, you might have, your kids might hate you. You might have, your lawn might be dying. Like, I don't know what is going on. Or you might just be having the best time of your life. You might have just got engaged. Things might be really good for you. I have no idea where you guys are at. And if I'm able to talk about it on, like, a spiritual level, like, I have no clue where you're at spiritually. Like, I have no clue if you, coming here to church tonight, feel like you should be here? Right? Like, do you feel like you should be here? Amen. Or do you feel like you just barely dragged yourself in the door thinking, I just know I need to be somewhere positive tonight? I don't know. I don't know where you're at, right? I have no idea. So it's hard for me to talk to everyone. So in the reason I'm saying this is because I'm going to lose some of you guys tonight, okay? Probably. I'm going to lose those of you that are lazy and don't want to, like, think about what I'm saying. I'm going to lose those of you guys that don't care about the next generation that's coming up underneath you. I'm going to lose you guys that don't really take this stuff seriously. But I don't know. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're here because you really do take it seriously. Maybe you're here because you really do want to know what God has planned for not only you, but the people around you. Amen. Right? So I don't want to lose you. I don't think that this is the audience that I'm going to lose. But I'm going to start with an interesting scripture. This is something that that I believe about God and his word. And this kind of sets the tone for pretty much every study I do, every time I get in front of people. I believe this about what I'm saying to you because it's not my word. It's not something I just came up with. It's something that I'm coming up with through the scripture, right? Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living, okay? It's living and it's active. It's alive, okay? It's living, it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. How many of you guys know, like, where that is inside of you? Like, where's the part where your soul and spirit, like, they connect? Do you guys know where that's at? No, you don't know where that's at. Of course not. But the word of God is able to go that deep, right? It goes as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow. And get this, the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Ooh, is that scary? Is that like a little frightening? See, God, and I'm not just talking about reading the Bible, because there's a lot of people who can read the Bible. Anybody can read the Bible. I'm talking about coming to God and looking at his word as an actual means of communication with him. Where if you believe it and you actually choose to live it. See, I messed myself up a long time ago. I used to teach the Bible a lot. I used to do this every Wednesday night, actually, for quite a while. And before that, a few years before I started doing that, I started down a path of, yeah, I want to know the Bible, but I really want to, like, live it. And it messed me up because it got really difficult. Like, it's easy to learn the Bible. It's easy to learn verses. It's easy to find the book of Habakkuk, right? It's easy to, like, learn that there's things in the Bible that other people may not know. But it's really the next level to learn to live it. Like, when in the simple parts of the Bible, when Jesus says, just listen, don't worry about everything else. Just worry about this one thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love the people around you. That's a challenge. So, like, some of you guys, like, have it up here, but are you able to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind every day and love people around you? Like, that's the next level challenge, right? So, anyway, I say that because this stuff is serious. And it's in this stuff inside the Bible, if you really choose to see it as a means of communication with God, and you sit and you pray over the scripture, and you read it, and you really study it, and you really try to figure out what it's saying to you, what God is saying to you through it, better yet, if you really do that, it's going to change your friggin' life. And it's not always going to be pleasant. Not at first. God is the ultimate divine surgeon. He will cut you open you up, change you, and you'll have a scar maybe, it'll hurt, but you'll be better off in the end, right? Like, that's what happens. And so, anyway, I'm not trying to just rah-rah you guys, but I really do believe this. So tonight I'm talking to you guys about calling, but we're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, okay? I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight. Is that okay? I might lose you guys. I don't know. I hope not, but I'm going to read it. Ecclesiastes 2:1 says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said, of laughter, is it madness? And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. Verse 4, I enlarged my works. This is a rich guy, okay? This is, a lot of people believe that Solomon wrote this, very wise, very rich, very wealthy. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Okay, so this guy lived at a time where it was cool to have slaves and it was cool to have concubines. It's not cool to do that now, but in his world, in this time, in the past, like, this was a very rich person, and he had power, a lot of money, a lot of possessions, and a lot of power. Now, what's the two words that I keep saying over and over as I read this? What are the two words that stick out? Okay, close. For myself, right? He keeps saying, for myself. I did this for myself, for myself, for myself. It sticks out to me because I highlighted it in my Bible. Don't worry, all right? So verse 9, then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. So not only was he rich, not only did he have power, like, he was the man. He became the person that everybody looked at, right? He was the guy with the YouTube video of 10 million views. And whoa, all right, that's amazing, right? He became great. His wisdom stood by him. He was very wise. Verse 10 says, all that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this is my reward for my labor. I mean, you're looking at this guy, and you're thinking, he's got it made, right? He has everything. Verse 11, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. He was trying to catch something that couldn't be caught, right? And there was no profit under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except for what has already been done? So now he starts playing head games with himself. He's like, why am I doing this? And what's the person that comes after me going to do? What's the point of all this? Verse 13, and I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. When then have I been extremely wise? Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. Verse 16, for there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how will the wise man, and the fool alike die. And verse 17 says, so I hated life. I hated life. This guy had everything. Everything that anybody could want. And it led him to hate life. We're living in a world that is more selfish than I've ever seen. And I know that some of you that are older would say this much more than I would, right? Like, it's bad. It's all about, everybody's looking out for number one, and everyone's jealous of everyone else, and everyone wants what everyone else has, and everyone wants to have those cool social media posts, or that nice car, or that big house, or that good family, that amazing family that you have no idea that they're just fighting like cats and dogs when you're not looking, right? Like, they probably don't have it all together, but when they come to church, they put everything on, and they look really happy. You know, the father tells the children, don't smile at everyone, and if you don't, I'll beat you later. It's we have this idea that everyone else has it figured out. But the truth is, none of us freaking have it figured out, right? We don't. And if you do, then you're probably more lost than you even know. I'm going to keep going. I'm coming with it's just a thing, okay? But there's a wisdom in this. So can you guys bear with me for a few? All right, more scripture. From Ecclesiastes, we're going to go to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a young dude. Jeremiah 1:5. And by the way, how many of you guys, like, how many of you guys are parents of teenagers? Anybody parents of teenagers? Whew. I feel sorry for you guys. I do. I'm going to be there someday. You got a job. You do. And it's very important. Now, Jeremiah was a teenager. God came to him and called him. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That's a mind blow right there, right? Before you were even a thing, right? Before you even existed in any form, God knew him. "And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. I called you before you were born. Then I said, 'Alas, Lord God,'" this is Jeremiah responding, "'behold, I don't know how to speak because I'm a youth. I don't know how to do this because I'm young.'" Now, there's two things I want to kind of say here. The first thing is your kids probably have an amazing calling on their lives. I mean, they do, for sure. But some of them are like really special calling. Like some of them are probably called to be leaders, like future, like major leaders in this world. Some of you know if you have one of those real special kids, right? And honestly, like, they're all called to carry the church on forward, right? They're all called to do something amazing. And so you have a huge job before you. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is the word, when Jeremiah said, "I can't do this because I'm a youth," he was using the word youth as an excuse. He was saying, you know, this is my inadequacy. Now, some of you guys were, you know, I'm middle-aged. I don't consider myself a youth anymore. And some of you guys are my age and some of you guys are older maybe. I don't know. We might not have that excuse, but what other excuse do we have? What I've learned is when you have an excuse one day, then tomorrow, if you don't have that same excuse, a lot of times it's easy to find another one. Like, we become professionals at finding reasons to not do the things we're supposed to do, right? We do. Like, if that's a skill that could get you somewhere, that would be awesome. I would love for that to be the case, because I'm an excuse guy. I'm constantly like, I can't do that because of this and that and this and that. I'm really good at it. So you guys are with me, right? Like, you're really good at making these excuses. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter what you think, because God chose you. When God chooses you, he doesn't leave you alone. I don't know if you notice that. So behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. Verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to me," okay, God said to me, "'Don't say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.'" It's interesting that he says, "Don't be afraid of them." Don't be afraid of them. Who are the them in your life? That doesn't sound right. I don't know, but you get what I'm saying. Yes. Who are they? Who are the ones that you are afraid of? And a lot of you guys, especially if you're dudes, right? Dudes, like, we're not going to admit if we're afraid of something. I heard somebody say recently that for men, we use the word stress instead of fear, because it sounds better. "I'm really stressed out." "No, you're scared." Like, let's just call it what it is, right? It's human to be afraid sometimes. It just is. It's like, it's normal, but it's not healthy to stay there. Right? Like, I'm afraid of heights. Like, I'm afraid. I've become afraid of heights. I had a snowboarding accident when I was younger, and ever since then, I'm just, like, really nervous around cliffs. And I went hiking the other day, and I was, like, on the edge of a cliff, and I was just, like, sweating. And I think that fear's probably, if it's irrational and it keeps me from doing things that I need to do, if I were a window washer, right, like, that'd be a huge problem, but I'm not. I just like to hike sometimes, so it's not a big deal for me. It's okay for me to admit I'm afraid of heights. It's okay to admit your fears. In fact, I think that's one of the problems that we have in life, is we don't admit our shortcomings. We don't admit the things that are issues for us, right? We're not honest with ourselves. When you're not honest with yourself, it's impossible to grow. It's hard to grow. And so I definitely got off topic there. But the point is, every single one of you that are here tonight, and your families, and your kids' friends, and the people that spit at you and say they don't believe in God, and the dude that works at Taco Bell, and the dude that works in that big building downtown, and the lady that whatever, I don't know. I could go on and on. I'm just making this up as I go. But all of us and the people we know, I believe, do have a calling on our lives. And the problem is, and the issue is that most of us don't believe it, even in here. We don't believe it. That's the truth. We struggle with it. You know why? Because when you're called to do something, it's usually something you don't want to do. And I've learned this from practice. I'm doing it right now, okay? I don't want to do this. I don't. And I get, and it's funny because I'll say that to people, especially like I'm saying it in front of you guys while I'm here. And then you guys will, well, skip you, man. You don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. It's a whole, like, I have no problem telling you guys that I don't feel like standing in front of you doing this because I'm doing it in spite of that. And there's a strength in it. There's a strength in doing the things that you don't want to do. And I'm telling you that, and I'm doing it right now, okay? I'm telling you that because when God calls you to do something and he gives you the opportunity to do it, and it's scary and it's not fun, that's how you learn about what life's really about. It's crazy. I don't know how to explain it other than if God's calling you to do something, maybe you need to just do it. I don't know. Nike came up with that a long time ago, but I'm going to borrow it. Yeah. So Matthew, I'm going to move forward. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is on the scene now, and he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And a lot of you guys know this, but I'm going to go through it. Matthew 6, 5, it says, when you pray, how much time do I have? All right, cool, perfect. When you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites. Okay, you're not to be fake. How many of you guys like love hanging out with fake people? Anybody? Like, tomorrow I'm going to go hang out with that guy that always lies to me. Like, it's not cool, right? And so Jesus comes out and says, hey, listen, it's not cool to be fake, especially when you're coming to God. When you pray, don't be like them who do it so that everybody could see them doing it, right? I have another thing to say. I don't have time, but it was really interesting. I'll tell you later. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Right? That's crazy. He'll repay you. It's like you're doing work. It's like work, right? That's why we don't. You ever wonder why you don't feel like praying? It's because it's work. It's because that YouTube video is more interesting. Right? Or whatever. I'm just using. YouTube's on my mind, so I'm using it as an example. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition. Okay? Don't just go over and over, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Okay? So he knows what you need before you ask, and then you might ask the question of, well, if God knows what I need before I ask, then why ask him, right? And I think what Jesus is teaching here is he's teaching the people to have the right perspective of who God is and who you are, okay? I think that's where he's going with this, and this is why he wants you to pray like this. Pray like this, then. Verse 9, our Father, right, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what are we doing? We're putting the focus on him versus what we are tempted to do sometimes and pray like this, like, God, please help me, blah, 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 right? Like, that's what we're tempted to do. We're tempted to come to God first, and it's about us. But Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, no, 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 no. When you come to God, acknowledge the fact that it's about him. It's about your heavenly Father who's in heaven, right? So in verse 7, that's wrong. Okay, verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, okay, at 2300 East Brundage Lane, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So not only are we acknowledging who God is, that he's Father, first of all, which is a whole thing, but he's a good father. Some of you guys don't have good relationships with your earthly father, and you need to forgive them. Okay? Because if you don't forgive them, and Jesus gets to that in a minute, but if you don't forgive them, you're going to have a hard time with this whole father thing. Okay? That's a side note. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. The point is that we want God's kingdom to come. That's our purpose in praying, is that we want his kingdom to be here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Just give us what we need to do your will, not what we need to look cool or what we need to feel better about ourselves and feel better about that person we don't like that's a jerk down the street, right? Like, no, not those things, but give us what we need to do your will. Give us what we need to have your kingdom come, to have your kingdom come right here and where we're at, right? Like, that's the whole purpose. So give us what we need for that, and forgive us our debts, because we have debts. Please forgive us, God. Please. That's what it turns on us. It turns on us. After you look at God first, you start thinking about yourself. You don't think about all the things that you want. You don't start thinking about all the things that you wish were changed. You start thinking about the fact that you don't even deserve to be in front of God if it weren't for Jesus, right? And so you come to him and you ask him, please forgive us as we forgive. It says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So the people that have done you wrong, that's part of God forgiving you. It's a process. It's like if somebody like has done something really horrible to you, really bad, the way to find the strength to forgive them is to understand your own debts and to understand that God has forgiven you and he loves you, right? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Got my car last night and my odometer said 6666. I don't think it means anything. I think it just, you know, whatever. How many of you guys like that stuff bothers you? Like a black cat crosses the road? Oof. How many of you guys are superstitious? Be honest. That's okay. That's all right. I don't know why that stuff happens. I have no idea, but I think you're good. I think you're safe. I didn't die, and it was fine. So here's what I'm going to leave you with. I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. And this is how to do it, okay? I mean, first, you pray like Jesus taught us to pray. It's pretty simple. But here's the next level if you want to go there. Some of you do. And let's be honest, some of you aren't ready to go to the next level. Some of you guys, you believe that God has called you, but you don't really want to find out what it is because you don't want the responsibility. Let's just be honest. And if that's you, okay, listen, I'm talking to you. If you are somebody that's like, yeah, I like going to church. I like hearing this stuff. I believe I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven, but I don't really want to take it to the next level. I don't really want the responsibility of ministry because we're all called to ministry here. And if you don't want that, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. Pray that God would change your heart. You pray that God would change your own heart, okay? Just do that. And you know, if it's God's will to do that, then he will. Now, for the rest of you that want to go deeper, Philippians chapter 2. That's what we're going to do. Philippians 2. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So that's like the clouds, right? Like that's like best case scenario. Paul's just throwing it out there saying, listen, if you guys can do anything, just be united, like be a group, be a church, right? Like be together. There are people in this building that hate each other probably. I mean, there's enough people. I used to laugh because, it's not funny, but I used to laugh because you can like literally legally be in the same building because it's so big, even if you have a restraining order against somebody. It's like, I think the distance works out. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know, but But we laugh, but there are people that go to this church that are divorced that just don't like each other. And listen, you don't have to like everybody. Hey, he's not saying you have to like give everybody a high five. You can give like 9 people a high five, and that one dude, just don't give him a high five. Be like, it's cool, you're here. Yeah, whatever. Right? And then move on, right? Like, just don't talk crap about him when he leaves. All right, so anyway, moving on. Verse 3, here's how you do it, okay? You guys ready for this? Listen, are you ready for this? Okay, do nothing from selfishness. Nothing. That's the challenge for your lifetime. Good luck, right? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than themselves. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. I'm not done. I know you want me to be, but I'm not. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude, okay? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but Jesus, okay, the one that didn't have to do this, but he did it. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So this is hardcore stuff. Okay, I think we went from like preschool to master's degree tonight. But as far as the challenge of actually living as a Christian, but I want you to I want to focus on that one thing that it said there. It said, "Had this attitude." Okay, have the attitude. It doesn't mean that you all have to be martyrs. It doesn't mean that you have to just quit your job tomorrow and just go crazy. God wouldn't want that. It just says, have the attitude which was in Christ. And I think that's a process. I've seen some people dive in head first, and they became very loving very fast. But I think for most of us, it's a process. I think it's something we have to put on every single day. And the one thing that I've learned is life does get hard. It really does. But when you have that attitude, it's almost like things can't really affect you that much. The little things, you know? It's like you just learn to trust. My little girl, I watch her in the morning, and my favorite thing in life right now is when I pick her up in the morning and she's still a little tired, and she just kind of goes limp in my arms, and she lays her head. You know the feeling, right, parents, right? Like, it's like the best feeling ever. And what's cool about it is she's giving me her full trust. Like, she just fully, she's comfortable because she trusts me. And I kind of think that's how God wants us to be with him. Right? That's how he wants us to be. He wants us to let go. Cease striving. And know that I'm God, right? What are you working so hard for? What is it that you're working so hard for? What is it that you're so stressed out about? I want to encourage you just to breathe and learn to trust God as your Heavenly Father, because he really does care about you, okay? Let's pray. Father.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love, give us our God who's come.